This is Morning Edition on 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org. Our summer concert headliner, Shamika Copeland, says she was caught off guard when the city of Chicago and state of Illinois officially declared her to be the new queen of the blues. It happened at the 2011 Chicago Blues Festival. She was presented a crown by Cookie Taylor, the daughter of blues legend Coco Taylor, who wore the title until her passing in 2009. Copeland says, despite the unexpected declaration, she still considers Coco Taylor to be the real queen of the blues.
But I was truly grateful that they thought enough of me to think that I could carry this blues tradition on. The best thing Cookie said when she handed it over to me was that Coco loved me because I was always doing me. I wasn't trying to do her because, you know, I knew I couldn't. And I think that that was the best honor ever, saying that I was doing my own original thing, but still carrying the blues on.
Well, it sounds like you and Coco Taylor had a relationship. How well did you know her? And, you know, what?
Oh, very well. She was so good to me. Oh, my gosh. I mean, she's the only star that I've ever met. When I met them, I couldn't speak. But we became great friends after that. But she was closer to my mom because she would call me and talk to me for about 10, 15 minutes, ask me how I was doing. And then she would speak to my mom for an hour talking about how I was really doing. So she really looked after me, really looked after me.
Well, I'll sing the blues.
Well, you talked about the legendary Coco Taylor and how you were friends with Coco. Your father is a legendary blues guitarist, artist, Johnny Copeland. How encouraging was he about your music when you were growing up?
Oh, gosh. I mean, very encouraging. And, you know, it just starts in the home. I noticed it with my own son. He loves music, but that's because he grew up with it. And that's the same way I was. My dad was always sitting around playing guitar, and when he wasn't sitting around playing guitar, we were listening to music. And so we listen to music a lot in my house now, and I noticed my son, he loves music, and he does not discriminate. He loves all kinds of music. I was just in the car listening to the classical station in the car, and he was, like, singing along with the music, you know, in his own way. You know, and I was like, oh my God, he loves classical music too. You know, it's not just James Brown and mommy, you know what I mean? He loves music.
What kind of music were you and your dad and your mom listening to when you were your son's age?
Oh my God, country and western, gospel, soul. Geez, we listened to it all. You know, my father was from Texas, so you can't be from Texas in the 1930s. Not be a country music fan, you know. So my dad, we listened to country, gospel, blues, soul, and my father loved world music. So we listened to a lot of different music from all over the world.
When did you kind of think maybe music is something you wanted to follow your father into, and how much did your father encourage you or discourage you or just give you the facts of life as far as what music was like?
I mean, I always loved music, but I thought it was a crazy life, you know. My father was on the road a lot, and, you know, he would work his behind off, be gone for 3 months at a time and still come home with no money. You know what I mean? In the early days. And I remember that, and I'm like, geez, you know, he's working. What the hell? You know, and it was such hard work. And the other thing that scared me was the performing aspect. I just could not understand how he could get up in front of all those people and perform, which is hilarious now because that's my favorite part. You know,
sure.
The music business sucks, but performing and the people, you know, they make it all worth it. And that's why we do it. At least that's why I do it.
I guess I'm married to the blues.
He was very encouraging to me in my career. And you know, and it's funny, he knew even before I knew that I was going to be a singer. If you had told me that, I would have been like, you're a liar. Then it hit me like a ton of bricks.
When you're married
probably about 16, my father started getting sick with heart disease and ended up having open heart surgery, you know, 9 times between my 16th birthday to my 18th birthday. And he died just after my 18th birthday. But I watched him go through a lot in those 2 years. And it was during those years that I realized this is what I'm supposed to do.
Woke up early one morning, saw the devil playing his hand. Woke up early one morning, saw the devil playing his hand.
So the song you're hearing is Devil's Hand. This is GLT's Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton with Shamika Copeland. It's from her 2015 album, Outskirts of Love. And that's your father's song, a song your father wrote. What sticks with you most about your father now that he's been gone for, what, a couple of decades?
Just everything. You know, first of all, you have to have a solid foundation to be in this business. I had solid parents, just plain old good, solid foundation. So a lot of the things that stand out to me about my father's, the things that were said in my just raising that had absolutely nothing to do, you know, with the business. But as far as the business part goes, I learned a lot from him when I was traveling with him in those couple years. One of the things is that you just give it your all when you're up there. And I don't care how many people are there or not there, you always give it 150%. And then just don't believe the hype. You know, my daddy always used to say, never read the press. If it's good, then you'll become cocky and arrogant. And if it's bad, you'll become bitter and angry. It doesn't matter what they say. You know, just do what's in your heart and go with it. And that's pretty much how I try to model my career.
Ask you about an experience you had about 6 years ago. You got to sing at the White House for the Obamas. First of all, what was that like, and what would your father have said if he'd have known that you were singing at the White House for a black president?
Well, shoot. First of all, I would like to think that my daddy would have been there with me if he was around, and I think he would have thought it was great. I think he probably would have felt the same way B did. You know, I was there with B.B. King. B.B. King had been at the White House for every sitting president since Ford. But when he was there to do the show with Obama, he said, this is the greatest experience of my life. I would imagine he would have felt that way.
In a bar down in Texas, in a poor part of town, sat an old man the blues, play them dirty and low down.
I was standing in line behind Buddy Guy.
Just trying to make a living.
I probably shouldn't say this, but I really don't think he would mind, because I think it's true and I think everybody knows the truth. But we were standing in line to get our pictures taken with the president and Mrs. Obama. And he said, you know, I can't believe this, from the cotton fields to the White House. I would imagine it would have been a very surreal, amazing feeling for my father, you know.
What was the experience like for you at the White House compared to a regular performance on stage elsewhere?
Oh, well, I mean, Jesus, completely different. I mean, needless to say, you care about every performance you do, at least I do. But if you have to perform for the leader of the free world and a bunch of very important other people in the world, it could be very nerve-wracking. It's awesome and nerve-wracking, and it was insane. I think all of us felt the same way. Even the guys that have been doing it 50 years longer than me were still nervous.
Well, we can't wait to see you at the GLT Summer Concert. Shamika Copeland, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you very much, and I look forward to it. I'm really excited.